This, we had an opportunity to talk about the Shema. Personally, for me, just the Kenton right here, it is, it's not, y'all hear me at all? Okay. Let me project my voice. Make sure y'all hear me. Let's see. Check, check, check. That's better?
Yes.
All right. So I'm going to do that and project at the same time to make sure it's out there. But I've had just these past, 48 hours of just meditating and praying through this verse. It's amazing, right? Like, I mean, I know it's so simple. You think it's simple just repeating something once in the morning and once at night. But I just try to put myself in the shoes of the Israelites and just seeing, man, how they capture this. It was amazing. And so far, I'm loving it. You know, there's some victories that, you know, I got to share. But I'm going to keep that between me and my wife. I'll tell you off air because I don't want, I think my son is around. So I don't want to, is he here?
Yeah.
He's here. All right. I don't want to go find a spot. But anyway, it was good. It was good stuff. It was good stuff. Anyhow, love the Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. This is what we're going to talk about. So tonight, what the aim is, I'm going to just kind of do an overview of these four parts, right? So we're not going to deep dive into all of them because we have a whole year, right? So I'm just going to do an overview of each of them, and then we'll kind of kick off when we come back to full service in 2 weeks, okay? So heart, mind, soul, and strength, you and I. That's what it's all about, right? We know what the Israelites did. We know what our forefathers, what they've gone through. We can read about it. We know their faith. We know their trials. We know their victories, the blessings, the challenges, the wars. We know about it, right? But in 2025, it's you and I. It's you and I trying to put our arms around us. And that's the intent. The goal is that each and every one of us will grow spiritually. Like, the goal is that as we're going through this, that you are experiencing growth. Maybe it's an increment growth, but it's still growth. Maybe it's leaps and bounds, it's still growth. Like, that's what we're hoping for. Okay, so that's what we're aiming for. And if you get extra, if you get more things out of that, that's extra credit. And then you can listen. When I was in school, I didn't take advantage of extra credit. There were times, that's extra work. I don't want to do it. But in this case, spiritually, extra credit is worth it. So go ahead and do the extra work that it's going to take for your growth to take place, for your interaction with God and with people. Let that be something that you inspire to, okay? All right. Okay. So we're going to talk about the heart for a second. Talk about the heart. Now, I'm going to try to do two things, too. I'm going to try to speak from how the Israelites would have read it, and then kind of like how we do modern day, because there are some slight differences, right? Because you gotta pay attention to context, you gotta pay attention to culture, right? Times has changed. There's different things that goes into it that sometimes how one group of people looked at it is gonna be different than this time period, right? So you be with me on that, right? So that's my aim, what I'm gonna try to do. So the heart. The heart, right? The Hebrew word for heart is lev, right? And now, when we look at the word heart from the Hebrew perspective, it's not like they look at the heart as the central place of all emotions, right? Like, yeah, they acknowledge there is emotion attached to that, but in Hebrew, it's more than just emotion. Right, it also includes intellect, thought, right, and you know, we're gonna see some examples of that because their view, their understanding of heart was more than just the emotional connections that you and I would probably associate that with. Okay, so in Proverbs 23, Proverbs 23 verse 7. For as this is the New King James Version, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And again in Genesis 6, verses 5, The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. So this is two examples of how when the Israelites saw harm, it wasn't just the emotion. There was their centralizing thought in their makeup and in the way they view things, right? Even when King Solomon, you know, when he was made king, he asked God to give him a discerning heart. Now so he can emotionally connect with the people so that he can make wise decisions, right? So he was connecting that, he was looking at that from a heart perspective. Not just a mindset, not just a heart set emotionally, but also in the mind. This is how the ancient Israelites would look at heart. Now, today, modern day, fast forward, right? We do, you know, follow your heart. We've heard that phrase before, right? Follow your heart. And normally what we say is, follow your heart, do as you feel, right? What you feel inside, go for it, right? Like that's what normally follows, follow your heart, right? Or my heart is broken. Like I have, I tell my kids, my wife broke my heart twice before we started dating. She broke my heart. I drove 9 hours to Tallahassee. So this is to ask this girl to be my girlfriend, not my wife, my girlfriend at the time. And she said, no. And I drove 9 hours back to Miami. And I spent the weekend crying just in the Sade. So if you understand it, Israelites would be like, bro, what are you doing? You know, well, today I'm like, oh, I'm broken. It hurts. Right, so we associate heart more with feelings. And that's not necessarily wrong, it's not bad, but it's just understanding that as we're looking, when we talk about love the Lord with all your heart, right, it's not just the emotional, I love you, God. It's not just that, it also incorporated some thought, intentionality, right, discernment. Like these are the things that came from looking at loving the Lord with all of your heart. This is what the Israelites would have understood that to be, right? So I got some examples here, right? So ancient Israel, they considered the heart, you know, the set of thought, will, and emotion. Like that's what they associate the heart with. They considered it rooted in, when they talk about rooted in the heart, it was intellect and will. Like these are the things that they put into when they talk about heart, when they love God with their heart. These are things that they connected to. Requiring an aligning thought with choices with God. You see that? Like they're not just following their emotion. They're not just getting caught up in the hype. Like there is thought, there is some intellectual drive that also accompanied their heart, right? Now for us, you know, Greek and modern time, because remember when we look at Mark chapter 9, we'll look at that 11-12, excuse me, Jesus added mind to the Shema, right? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I'm like, okay, why would that be? We're gonna get into that in a minute. But for us, modern time, you know, we the heart is considered the center part of our feelings, right? None of us should say, man, my head hurts because I'm feeling that. And we don't necessarily say that. We don't associate feelings with our mind. We more associate it with heart, right? Driven by mind, logic, or heart emotion. So think about, you know, again, think about the time, you know, in the first century, right? You know, the Israelites were being they accompanied by the Roman Empire, right? And you also had Greek who really thrived in intellect, right? And so for Jesus to come and say to add money to that, he was helping to see, listen, don't just make this, you know, an emotional thing, because I know you guys like to think a lot. You have scholars and you have all these kind of, you have libraries, and so you've evolved in using your mind. So you need to use your mind there as well. In loving God with all your heart. Because they need to do that in there for them and hopefully for us as well. Right? What else? I'm gonna go to the last one. Sometimes being influenced by subjective emotions. Right? Think about this, right? A lot of times we get swayed by how we feel, right? Sometimes that even carries on to whether we're gonna obey the scriptures or whether we're gonna really truly follow what the scriptures say. Sometimes our emotions dictate yes or no.
Right. Yeah.
Sometimes it does, right? But again, to the Israelites, it was guided by thoughtful reflection and obedience. Remember what I had to talk about on Sunday? It was one swoop for them. It wasn't just, oh, I hear it and I'm cool. It was hearing, obeying. It was one swoop for them. And so again, as we're going into the section of the heart in the next couple of months, I want us to kind of do some comparisons of how the Israelites would look at it and how we ought to look at it, because it's still one. It's just understanding the context of when it was given to them and what it means to us today, right? The word of God doesn't change. So I want to make sure that is clear. So again, when it comes to the heart, the Hebrew word of them, it involves reasoning, obedience, and emotional connection, right? So it's not just the emotional stuff, right? It's not just the emotional connection to God, but it's also utilizing your mind, utilizing your thought, utilizing everything that encompasses you in terms of your heart and your mind. There's a lot in there when it comes to your heart. All right. Okay. Now we're going to move on to the soul. Right? We're going to move on to the soul. The Hebrew equivalent for the soul is nefesh. Right? Was the word that was originally related to a term that meant breath. Right? And I'm going to share a scripture with you in a minute to kind of help you understand again how the Israelites looked at this word when they talked about soul. What did they gather? Right? So the Hebrew word for the best breath, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "The Lord God formed the man from dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." You see, for the Israelites, again, when they associated soul, they took it all the way back to when God breathed life into the lifeless man, right? Because Adam laid there, his body was formed, but he still wasn't alive until he breathed life into him. And so for the Israelites, it was everything. It was life. When he said love the Lord with your soul, it meant their actual life, the thing that keeps them moving, the thing that makes them get up in the morning. Like, this is what they're thinking about. When they're saying soul, loving God with all your soul, it's amazing. The inner being of a person. This is how they saw this. It wasn't something that was abstract. Now, I'm not a Hebrew scholar. I'm not going to try to break down all these different terms, but to understand that the way they view these things can truly help change the way I see scriptures. Because the original text, again, scriptures being translated into different versions, or sometimes the word may not have a word for it. And so we add a word there, not because we're trying to change it, because we're just trying to understand, we're trying to capture what was said and why it was said. And so for me, when I look at this, like, wow, that changes some things. It changed something because they take it all the way back to the very beginning. All the way to the very beginning. Now this is my image of soul. I didn't know how to put a soul up out of my picture. So because it was life-giving, right? God breathed life into them. So they internalized that to like a loyalty. Because you have given me life, therefore my loyalty is to you, God. Yes. Everything of me is to you. This is kind of where they put this at. So now, with that in mind, when they worshiped, think about this. When they worshiped, they were worshiping with this in mind. Imagine that. Imagine a church, every time we worship, whether it's corporate or individually, and it's within the breath that God has given you. Love the Lord with all your soul. See that? Like it calls us to give so much more than what we think we have given. Right? Like that's what I see when I see this. It's a sacrifice. A sacrifice of self. When they talk about the soul, when they talk about the flesh, it's the right. It's a sacrifice. They think of it in this way. Amazing. Amazing. So, modernly, us, how do we sometimes internalize this? Well, I believe because, you know, we've been baptized, and we get that concept. Okay, now that we're baptized, God has, you know, allowed the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. So we kind of put this in the space of an eternal place, right? It's an eternal person inside of us, right? We with the Spirit, we want to align, you know, our desires with God's will. Right? On our best days, that's what we're trying to do. Right? Our best days, we're saying, okay, I understand that you're giving me this breath, and so I want to live my life for you. So I'm going to try to align my desires to you, not you align it to me. Right? This is the thought process, right? Sacrificial living. That's what it kind of looks like for us sometimes. Right? We're living this love, loving the Lord, all our soul. It's sacrificing, it's the way we live. Right, because life was given to us, therefore we live this, right? With all of it. Like that's the expectation, that's the call. It's a personal bond to God. Connection. Without the Spirit, there's no connection to God. Like that's how we look at it today, right? There's no connection. We look at the lost, man, there's no connection to God. Right? Yes, God created everyone, but man, you're talking about the spiritual realm, there's no connection. But we associate soul with the connectivity to God, all right? Okay. Okay, not bad. Okay. All right. The mind. In the New Testament, this is where I'm going to go off with it. In the New Testament, when Jesus quoted Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, in Mark 12, referring back to Mark 12, he includes the word mind in addition to heart, soul, and strength. Right? Now, the Greek word, because there's no Hebrew word, but the Greek, when we see the word mind, it's more of the Greek word dianoia, right? It's intentional thinking about our God, right? But not just intentional, just thinking about him, right? But it also expands to understanding, seeking, right? With everything that we are. We're thinking about this, and it's not just in the terms of just sitting there and reflecting, but it also shows up in places like reading your Bible, right? And I'll explain a little more. In Exodus 20, verses 13, it reads, in the Old Testament, and this is kind of why, I mean, I'm giving you a reason why we see that Jesus added mind to the Shema. Because sometimes, and Jesus sets a precedence in this, you'll see that Jesus often appears to add something to the scripture, or he's explaining, but it's not that he's added it to the scripture, he's really trying to explain the heart behind it, because you missed it, you didn't get it. This, these are some examples of that. So in Exodus 20, verse 13, it says, you shall not murder, right? That's like, okay, I won't murder nobody, I'm good. Okay, well, Jesus says in Matthew 5:21, but I tell you that anyone who is angry with your brother or sister will be subject to judgment. So why? Because the heart of the script, the heart of do not kill anybody wasn't that just don't kill nobody. It was that you don't even treat each other that way. Right, because murder happens, you know, most of the time, all this happens first, right? The anger, the frustration, whatever that is, that happens first. And then you elevate to killing, right? So then you elevate to put your hands on somebody. So Jesus is like, no, you know, let me just explain to you the heart of this. That's another example. In Exodus 20, verse 14, you shall not commit adultery. Jesus says, okay, but I tell you in Matthew 5:27, verse 28, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery in his heart. Right? So you can get, yeah, don't give an adultery. Okay, I'm perfect and not step outside of marriage. I'm gonna just do that. No, Jesus, listen, if you look at somebody lustfully, you already committed adultery. So he's giving them the heart, right? And so now, with that in mind, let's go back to Jesus adding mind to the Shema, right? Because for them, again, understand the context, understand the audience, right? We had a lot of intellectuals, right? And so they, at this point, they separated heart from mind. Where the Israelites, mind and heart was one the same, pretty much. We operate from this place. But now, in this first century, we've kind of veered off and said, okay, the heart is over here and the mind is over here. And Jesus, understanding the time, says, okay, I'm going to get you and mind. Because you're going to try to give me your heart, your soul, and strength. But then you'll give me your mind? Okay, and mind. I want all of it. All, that's the heart of the scripture, right? So in our mind, God is calling us to love him with all of it, right? Seeking to understand him deeply, not just at the elementary service, right? Not just, hey, I go to church and someone talked about God for a couple of minutes and then I went about my day, right? And I'm not accusing anybody here doing that. I'm just giving you the most lamest excuse or example, right? But to take that further, to say I'm gonna love God with all of my mind, I'm gonna go and look for him with so much intensity. Yeah. That I'm not stopping at a 30-minute sermon and a 25-minute midweek and a 10 to 15-minute quiet time. I'm not stopping there. I'm going to expand that. Think about the things you imagine. Think about your ability to imagine things. It's limitless. God has given you the ability to think of things that don't even exist. Right? And so with that same mind, seek me with all your mind, right? Think of these things at a much deeper level, using all the resources that are available to you today. We were laughing about this earlier in the huddle, right? Like, I was worried about, you know, the slides not showing up and stuff, and then I was like, man, the Israelites didn't have this.
Yeah.
Now, one Israelite, maybe one had the scroll, and they all just had to listen. They just had to listen to the word, just. You know, no visuals, you know, no PowerPoint, nothing. We just go listen, and I'm going to memorize a lot of what you say. Right? And so, it's funny, but we're in 2025. We have access to technology. We have access to limitless libraries. We have access to all kinds of commentaries and studies. We can go to school just for theology. Like, there's so many things that we have access to know this God and love him with our mind, with everything that is available to us. So when we talk about loving the Lord with all your heart, mind, and we talk about the mind, it encompasses all of that, right? Creativity comes from the mind, right? We're not limited to the square, you know, brick and mortar way of knowing who God is, right? We have so many ways to get to know him. We can know him through experiences. We can know him through prayer, meditation. There's so many things that, again, all of this should be drawing us closer to him. I'm not saying think of things that draw you away, right? I'm not talking about that, because there's a lot of thought, and some of those thoughts don't have nothing to do with them. It looks like God, but ain't got nothing to do with them. So we're not talking about that. But this is why the last one is great. So yes, with our creativity, with all of our minds, we get to love the Lord with all our hearts and with our minds. But we also have the ability to test what it is. We have the ability to test so that we know that what we find in our thoughts and what we're seeking intensely, that we can test it to see if it's true to the scripture, right? We can bring it all the way back to the scriptures to see, is this aligning, right? We can use it to evaluate and reflect. These are the things when we talk about our mind that we can look to when it says, love the Lord with all our mind. Right, because this is what when Jesus was talking and mentioned this. These are the things that we can think about. In 2 Timothy 2:7, reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. And then he says later on in verse 15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who is not in need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. right? So again, talking about intentional thinking, we have the ability. God has called us, right? He's called us to love Him. So it's not just, hey, if you mind, get love with all your heart. It is a command. Let's get that out of the way. It is a command. But we know that God is a desire just sacrifice, right? He wants a willing heart, right? So we want to be able to see these things with everything that's inside of us, right? Doing the best to present yourself to God, right? And the only way we're going to do that is truly getting to know Him, right? So for 2025, let that be one of your individual thing. I want to get to know you more, God, this year, right? I want to expand my reading. I want to expand my understanding, right? Like I'm sharing this with you now. I have my notes and stuff, but what would be great is that all of us will go back and start looking at the scriptures this way, right? As we're going through this series, okay, do some research on how the Israelites see this and how we would see it in today's time, right? And see if there's any place that we need to make some adjustments in our individual understanding, right? So this is what we're about. This is where we're trying to go and talk about loving people with all of that strength. Now, I love this image, right? Because we talk about, when we think about strength, chances are, those of us that, haven't read this much or don't really understand it, we might think strength physically. Like, we may think that's what, God is calling us to. Strength in this context isn't just about physical power, but it's also about passion and intensity. God wants us to be deeply committed to our faith, not just to believe in Him, but to let our faith completely shape and guide our lives. And why I like this image of the sun, because we know how powerful the sun is.
Yeah.
This sun is so far away from Earth, and yet it has enough power to properly heat this Earth, allow life to exist, right? It could be snowing today, and then tomorrow the sun melts away, and it's just enough to be okay to walk outside. Put some of us in got to layer up, Shayla. But I love that because as powerful as the sun is, there's also a level of intensity that comes with it. Right? There's a level of intensity that shines from the sun that we can actually grab onto. So the Hebrew word is be'or, right? And it's not just strength, but it's more of very much. Right, very much like saying a lot, like this is that's probably the best way I can make it sound, right? It's a lot. When we're talking about with all of our strength, it's a lot, it's multiplied. It's not just, I'm just gonna push through it, right? I'm gonna not only push through it, I'm gonna knock this out. Right? This is kind of like how we can look at this. I think about zeal, right? That's another word that we can think of, because with zeal is hard to limit, right? It's hard to contain zeal, right? When you're zealous for something, when you're passionate about something, it's very difficult to cap it, even if you're surrounded by people who are negative, who say you can't do something. But because it's burning inside of you, it doesn't stop you, it doesn't limit you, right? So now take that in loving the Lord with all your strength, that nothing outside can cap that zeal. This is what very much looks like. It's so much that it's too much for the negativity that's coming at you. Wow. Too much, yeah. Because the doubt that's out there cannot overcome you because you're locked in. That zeal is so much that it cannot be capped. This is the visual that I think about when I'm going to talk about love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul, all your strength. In Deuteronomy 8, verse 17 and 18, you may say to yourself, my power and my strength and the strength of my hands have produced the wealth from me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirm His covenant, which He swore to your ancestors as it is today. When we think about strength, and again, I'll first kind of go to the Israelites. They understood that whatever they obtained was because God provided.
Right.
Because God, whatever feat they were able to accomplish, whether they were able to destroy nations, whether they were able to, walk through the desert and God's place in the head, everything that they received, everything they were able to overcome, they understood it because God has provided the strength. And now that he's provided that strength, I now have the unlimited capacity to love them with everything. Not even the Canaanites could stop us. Not even all of these different nations that are at war against us. They cannot stop us because God has provided me what I need to overcome. And with that, I'm gonna love the Lord with everything. No cap, no blockage that's gonna stop me from loving the Lord with all my strength. They remember this. This is how they looked at it. And so for me, I'm like, okay, God, you've given me much. Right? There's days, there's nights, I don't want to go. I don't want to be. I don't want to do. There's days, there's nights, there's weekends, right? I don't want to do. I don't want to be. I don't want to. And if I do, it's because you provided what was necessary. So because of that, now I have this within me. I have this inner strength, this zeal that I'm going to love you with all of this. The same way that that you provided these things, these unlimited resources, these ways out that I didn't see coming, the way you've done all that, I'm going to turn it around and give that to you with my love. Yeah. Right? So this is what it looked like. So, oh, good time. So as we venture in this year, as we're venturing in, we're gonna, like I said, for the next few months now, we're gonna talk about the heart in many different ways. So we're gonna look at many different aspects of how we can love the Lord our God with our hearts. And what I'm hoping, again, I've stated this earlier. What I'm hoping is that as we engage this fully, there will be growth amongst us. And it's not a knock at, oh, we're not growing or whatever. I don't really care about it. All I'm hoping for is that we engage this together and the Spirit will move us to respond. Just like the Israelites did. Once, not just hearing and liking it, they heard and obeyed. They heard it, they took it, and they obeyed. Like, this is what I'm hoping will happen for us, and that we can experience this growth. Both, whether it's our spiritual growth, I definitely believe God will add to our numbers, daily growth for being saved. I believe that too. There are things that can happen. Right? But for us, we step into this year prepared for this and getting ready and embracing this. What can God do with Westchester? What can he do with the group of believers who are locked into him? That's what we can imagine. That's what we can hope for. That's what we can pray for. Yeah. Right? And let's see what God, through the Holy Spirit, do for us in 2025. Amen.